So, good morning. They're resuming the translations on the DVDs of Pujya Niruma, Dr. Niruma Amin, Atmagnani, Avakram Vignan. And this is from Simandar City. We are back from the Pooj's Puran Pratishtha. Today is the 29th of December 2009. And Niruma is talking about the eight kinds of karma. The karma, and she's talking about the different kinds of karma, the vision obscuring karma, darshan avaran karma, mohaniya karma, the illusion that makes you forget the self, and therefore on the basis of this karma, on the basis of the illusion karma, one gets obstructions. That is called the antarai karma. The antarai karma is a karma of obstruction. So therefore, because the illusion deludes you, you move away from the path of liberation or the vision of liberation. Darshan avaran. Avaran means veil. Darshan means the vision. Darshan means vision, but vision here means the inner U capital understanding of what is liberation and what is not this. Yes, one has. And then once the exact U capital understanding is established, and then one enters into the experience, which is called the Gnan, G capital, the experience. Gnan Avaran means that which veils the knowledge. That which veils the knowledge is called, yes, fine. That which veils the knowledge is called Gnan Avaran. That which veils the Darshan is called Darshan Avaran. That Darshan means vision or understanding. So first, that which deludes the self is called the Mohaniya Karma. And as a result of the delusion and the illusion, then the Antarai Karma, which is the which is the obstruction karma, arises. These four are the ones that bring death and life. And especially the Gnan Avaran and the Darshan Avaran, they and the Mohini and the Antarai, these are the four karma. If you remain in Agnas about 60 to 70% of the time, you are free from these karma. Without any effort on our part in the Gnanvidhi, just on the purely on the basis of the grace, 2.6 out of these four karma are removed. In other words, 66% of this thing is removed. However, the obstruction karma remains, antarai karma remains, despite the Gnanvidhi. And the antarai karma or the... And so today's main topic of Niruma is antarai karma, or the karma that obstructs one on the path of liberation after the Gnanvidhi. So let us discuss what are our obstacles on the path of final liberation. That which presents in front of you is in the form of a veil, is an avaran. We have brought those from past life, but now this is in the form of subtle. And what is antarai karma? Antarai karma means you are the emperor of this entire universe. You are the absolute soul, which has got everything. But despite this, the self as capital, as absolute, despite having so much energies and if your wife does not talk to you, if you call her and she doesn't talk to you, then all the veil comes in front of you. If you don't get a cup of tea in time, your bliss goes away. Why do you not get what you want in what you should have as the emperor? It is your antaray karma. It is your karma of obstruction, that which you have created in the past life unfolding in this life. You know, if a person doesn't get what he wants, the answer is it is his antaray karma. The karma of obstruction is in operation. There are a trillion things in life, so much is available, but even in your own home you will not get it if it's not. It is because, and the underlying reason, what is the definition of an antaray karma, of karma of obstruction, is the desire arises and it doesn't come in front of you. Whenever a desire arises and it doesn't come in front of you, that is your antaray or obstruction karma in operation. And if you have a desire, as soon as a desire arises and the object or the event is in front of you and arises in front of you, then you do not have the antaray karma. That karma is not there in front of you. The gnani has no antaray or karma of obstructions. The gnani purush. The gnani purush nothing obstructs him. So when your karma of obstruction is released, it goes away, the veil is removed. In the moment you even think about it, it arises in front of you, it comes in front of you. The gnani does not have any antaray in anything. Why? Because he does not have any, he has become desireless. So it is kind of the other side of the same coin. When you become desireless, when you do not proactively desire anything, when there is no ego, then it just arises in front of you. The moment you think about it, or even the moment the thought arises, the object or the event or the circumstance or the person you want to be around, it comes in front of you. All the basic necessities of the gnani are fulfilled and much more without any desire on his part. He doesn't want a car, he doesn't have a telephone, he doesn't want an iPhone or a watch or anything. Everything is just in error. So he says, why do I need a watch? Otherwise, if I have a cell phone or a telephone, if I use a telephone in my apartment, then people will bug me. But if I don't have a telephone, then there is nobody to bug me. Nobody will call me. So every time you use an object, and that becomes the object of impediment with reference to the path of liberation. Where Dada used to live, there was only one telephone in Mamani Port, in somebody's home. Dada says, why do I need it in my home? I don't need it. Because the person who wants to call, he has the need, and why should my sleep be spoiled just because he has the desire to connect you? So he says, I've never, in life also, he never picked up a telephone. No reason, no ichcha, no desire. One day, somebody gave him a watch. It was very nice looking. And then a good friend of his came and says, oh, this is such a nice watch. He's looking at the watch on Dada's wrist. He took off the watch and he says, here, take it, keep it. He just gave it to his friend. He says, that means my karma with the watch, which got finished. I don't have to look at a watch for the rest of my life. So this is the way it is. He says, it's not necessary. So therefore he says, this is not at all needed. It just happens. It is not, there is no antaray, there is no obstruction. But for us, we have obstruction in every talk. Supposing Supposing you feel like having pizza, you want to have pizza, and the wife will say, no, I've got a headache, why don't we just have a simple sandwich? So that is your obstruction. You have a desire, you express the desire, but... So then the answer is, when you create a desire, when you express a desire, you are creating an obstruction in your own vyavasthit. Just observe blissfully what unfolds in front of you, rather than proactively creating a desire and then waiting for it to come. Then your wife or people around you will say, hey, it's not happening, it's not happening. So then it'll come, you won't get upset, you'll get upset, and you'll have artha dhyan, and that is not needed. So let it come. If the pizza has to come, let it come. Why? Otherwise, what will say? The guy will say, oh, forget. She'll say, you know, whenever I ask for it, you never make it for me. So what's the big deal? He gets upset. And when somebody else comes, you make it for him. And then if you say, well, and never compliment another lady in front of your wife, because the moment you say her food is so good, she will tell you immediately, why don't you go and stay with her? Why don't you eat her food? So never. Now Sanjay says he has not seen any of this. No, they don't compliment their wife, they compliment somebody else's wife. This, I think, is Sanjay is speaking too fast. They never compliment their own wife, they compliment other wives of others, and then they get into trouble. They get into trouble. Just Niruma says, remain in normality. Don't get too excessively complimentary of somebody else. Nor do you. Why don't you move? Hold the mic, prof. She says, I used to think that I used to make good food. He says, when he eats well, he eats with gusto, then I like it. Okay, so. Now, this is, I think, still the Guru Pun. Now he compliments me a lot. He says, why would he not compliment you? Because you are such a terror. She lives in Dallas. If you don't get a compliment, you'll make a face. So. Who is dropping these obstructions? Who is creating these obstructions? Ask Niruma. You yourself have created all kinds of obstacles and obstructions that are arising for you in this life. Yeah, we have a... Niruma is telling this person to sit on this. This, you know, she's just arranging stuff. He says, he's telling this person, why don't you move this way, because you're becoming an obstruction. Somebody probably standing or moving. Why don't you move this way? You're... She's just moving somebody, and he says, you're an obstruction for this person. So you're an... This is how obstructions happen in life, she says. Supposing you want to go to satsang. Somebody says, come to satsang. And then? Oh, then she'll say, then you say, oh, if it's in vyavasthit, I'll go, I'm not. Somebody says, you have to come to Guru Purnima. She says, then he'll say, well, if it unfolds, I'll go. That means you have kind of, it is subtle, you have just created an antaray. In other words, you cannot say, if it is in vyavasthit, I'll go. You should say, I will definitely go. I want to go no matter what. Now it's... when you say, I want to go there for 100%, I want to go to satsang for 100%, that means you have just removed the obstructions through your decision. The other person, he is saying, well, we'll see what unfolds in Devyavastit. Supposing Jasubailaka. So in other words, Jasu and Kusum, they are a couple, and Jasu says, oh, how can I go? She's just giving an example. Supposing you say, how can I go? We got guests, and the wife says, no, we are going to go no matter what. So now the wife is able to go, and this person just, because he put the excuse of the guest in there, that means he remains behind. Once you make a decision, that is, the decision is one of the major force that removes your obstacles. And you can tell your friends from very the beginning that, listen, from such and such a date we have our very clear-cut programs that we are going to attend, and therefore your friends will understand that they can't come, period. They can't bother you during that time. So you have just broken your guests will understand that, no, that person is not at home, so we cannot bother him. But you see, if you are kamsa, we'll see what happens. You're that attitude, wishy-washy attitude. Therefore, you yourself have in a subtle way created your obstacles in life, or given vent to them, or given the opportunity for them to present. Some people have made their decisions about certain things a year in advance. So nishchay, this is the determination, is one of the major powerful forces that removes your antarai, or your obstacles. And it is, and then such a person then displaces vyavastit. The more you become very strong in your nishchay, then the evidences will be there to fill in for you, so that you will be able to accomplish it. But if you are wishy-washy, if you are wavering, then you are kind of making a little space for antarais to come in your life. But if you, so this answer of the other Shri is nishchay, determination breaks antarais, breaks obstacles. So the whole sentence, the whole sutra is, desire creates obstructions, and nishchay, that means your determination, breaks obstructions, shatters obstructions. So recognize that you don't need to give in or make desires, because the results of desires are, there is a difference between desire and the result from desire, but you certainly can break the obstructions with reference to whatever you whatever you desire. And then otherwise, some people you get a little bit of a stomach and you say, oh, I'm sick, I'm not going to be able to go. Or a little bit of a physical symptom, and they just kind of paint a very, very huge picture, and therefore they lose their purusharth of nishchay, which is their determination, particularly to be in the S capital realm in this. Yesterday is an example, says Niruma. He says, this lady could not come for Gnanvidhi. And Niruma told him, just kind of send the silent signals to the person who is obstructing you through Pratikraman. And don't worry about the time of the Gnanvidhi. When it comes, let's see what happens. And she was able to attend the Gnanvidhi. So this is the Purusharth. If you see an impending obstruction coming through, you have the ability to connect to the pure soul within that person through Pratikraman. You can remain in your nishchay and capital nishchay, which is your determination, and never let go and or give vent to any kind of negativities with it. And you will see the result come unfold. But you see, you are creating a negativity even before the event actually arises in front of you. So this we are one is constantly in food antara. There are five types of obstructions in the scriptures described. Lab antrai, dana antrai, viri antrai, and lab antrai, dana antrai. There are four or five kinds of antrais. If somebody is profiting in his worldly life and you create an obstruction for him, then you have created an antrai for your own profits. If somebody is giving donation to somebody and you say, hey, don't give it to the extra intelligent guy, we say, why are you giving donating money to these people? They are all crooks. Now, you've just created a major obstruction for your own self. Supposing somebody is giving money for this temple, you say, you don't need to give them, they're misusing, they've got enough money. Again, you have created an obstruction for you. Whether to give or not give is not your, and you know, but somebody else is doing it. And so next life, you will not get it, because, you know, this is how the cause and effects. So antarai obstructions are created through just useless interactions with people. When you just say things that have got, you are not connected, the man is giving his money to the donation, why should you be involved in it? And supposing somebody is eating a lot of rice in this life and you say, hey, you shouldn't be eating that rice, and you insist, stop eating the rice. The wife says, you are not supposed to eat the rice. Well, the guy has been, in next life she will not be, her situation will be such that she will not be able to take rice. So, I mean, you know, you are not supposed to eat chocolates. Well, you know, he knows he is not supposed to eat chocolates. Why are you telling him, don't eat the chocolates, don't eat the chocolates? You see, so you created obstructions for yourself. So, somebody is profiting from his business, in a business venture, and you go and say, you better watch out for that guy, he's a crook, a con man. Now you just created, you've created a profit for your business. And then there is Bhoga Antrai, means to enjoy. Somebody is enjoying something. Bhog means, supposing you have, Bhog means, if you have eaten a meal, that means you are not going to use it again. That means you are done. So Bhog Antrai means you have obstructions in your meal and your drinks. Can you, in this world, there is so much to share and eat, and there is so much food for everybody in this world. But 90% of the human beings these days have to diet. They cannot eat this, and they cannot eat that, and they can. You know, I mean, you got all the, you can afford all the sweets and the goodies in the world, but you can't eat them because you see your body cannot stand them. Why? The doctor says you can. You got diabetes. You can't eat. Even Niruma had diabetes. She says, even I got diabetes, I can't eat. So you see, so this is a bhog antarai. Bhog means, B-H-O-G means to use something once and then you can't use it again. So you finished with it. You see, you eat a meal and you're done with it. That means you have just had a meal. But if the meal doesn't come in front of you, even when you need it, that means there is an obstruction of a meal for you. Maybe somebody was getting a meal in a previous life and you took it away, or you kind of created an obstruction for him. Somebody was inviting somebody for a meal and you took that person, no, come, let's go elsewhere. So the meal got left out. The man wasn't able to have a meal, so one meal of yours gets obstructed. Sometimes he says, oh yes, the wife says, you're eating too so much rice, you're eating so much dessert, stop it, you can't. So now she herself has created an obstruction for her rice and her ice cream in the next life. But some people don't do it deliberately, but they just eat without even thinking. Nirupa says, if you don't want to eat, that's fine. But when you try to taunt other people and you interfere in what the other person is doing, that is when you are creating an obstruction for yourself. If you don't want to eat, forget it. If you want to eat, you know, why do you? And she knows she's sick, so she has to take care of herself. Why do you need to interfere? Yeah, you can say it gently once, but... Now, this is for people who have not been self-realized, of course. This is a cause and effect relationship. This four major karma are described in Aptavani 13, not yet translated. Now, supposing the eater has received knowledge and the one who has not... the one who has received this knowledge is doing pratikraman. No, you know, like supposing you can't get a meal, so you're supposed to have a breakfast, and the breakfast does not come. Instead of 8 o'clock, it does not come until 10 o'clock. Then you can do pratikraman, because instead of blaming the other person who said, it is your own antarai karma that is coming in operation, is it not? Nobody wants to keep the meal away from you. Nobody has a desire to keep it away. But you simply don't get it for 2 hours and you're hungry and you don't know what to do. Yes, the one who has not, one who is not self-realized, yes, that's a problem, because that is why the satsang is going on. Do not create obstructions for other people through, and those instructions are created through thought, speech and actions. Supposing he has taken gnan, supposing he doesn't do pratikraman, supposing you have taken gnan, supposing he has taken knowledge but he has not, does not do pratikraman, then will it happen? Yes, you can make the person understand, but you do not have the right to create problems. You can make them understand, my dear, you know the doctor has told you it's not good for you, please don't eat it. But he see, if he insist and you just say, you are not supposed to eat it, I've been told not to do it, you never understand. Then you create, you can say it slowly, but you could, but Niruma says the women have a tendency to haggle, bicker and nag constantly, to the point where the guy is afraid to even eat in front of her. Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing? She says. She says, oh, I stand there when he's eating, I stand with a fan on her. He says, nowadays nobody sits when her husband is eating and kind of blow the fan with the hand fan. Usually just turn on the switch. This looks like... Supposing she calls you, okay, the meal is ready at 12:30 and you don't show up until 1 or 1:15, then also you have created some problems, because you have made her, you may have made her wait, and so you will be made to wait. So these are all, these are all life after life reactions, antarai karma, obstruct karma of obstruction. She's... But this is a satsang happening in US someplace. I missed the heading of it, so I don't know where it is. But this is a satsang with Niruma. Question coming up. Niruma. Now this man is saying that, you know, the Shetias, in other words, the very rich CEOs of the company, in fact, he earns so much money, when he comes home, he has got a body that is 250 pounds. And you see, there's so much food that is prepared for him in the evening, but he can hardly eat a little bit, and all his servants are eating all the good food. The servants end up eating all the good food. So, see, and there's so much good food, but all the servants end up eating it. Whereas this man, and when you look at the cooks, they are also, and the chefs, his chefs are all roly-poly, and the servant, and when the man who has been running, working so hard to make the money, he cannot have his own food. He has the food. So don't you think there is an underlying intent? And she asks, she says, no, the intent has got nothing to do with it, the ego. It is the ego behind saying yes or no. The ego and the intellect complex is the one that creates the obstructions in the last life. It is your ego intellect complex, it says, is the one that creates obstructions in a previous life, and it can, and therefore comes as an obstruction in this life. Now next, then we say, when we tell somebody, this guy is stupid, this guy is dumb, then when you tell somebody you're stupid, you just created an obstruction over your own intellect in the next life. You say you're stupid, those people don't know anything, they're so and so. You, all of those create obstructions over your own. You say somebody, you laugh at somebody who is walking funny because he's got a bad leg. Well, you just invited a bad leg for this, for yourself in this life, in the next life. See, you joke at somebody, you create obstructions. You laugh at somebody at the expense of somebody, you just created a problem for yourself. For the, you know, so just the ego that thinks that I am superior than the other person is the one that creates so much difficulties in their life to come, and also to a significant extent in this life too. Next question. Niruma is just in a very gentle manner, in a simple sahaj manner, discussing. So, suppose Niruma says this antarai is not for you. If you, out of understanding, avoid sweet desserts and sweets and candies because you've got a health problem, then there is no antarai. But you see, it's when you really try to enforce it on somebody, or you just kind of throw those kind of opinions on others and prevent others from getting it, then you are creating an obstruction for yourself. He says, if you see, when you say I cannot see in Samaik, that means you are perpetuating the veil. Dada says, why can you not see? Dada Shri, some people would say in front of Dada, I cannot sing. Dada will look at him and says, what do you mean you cannot sing? Even if he has got the voice of an ox, or you know, a very bad voice, Dada would say, sing, whatever you can, sing. That means when you keep on saying, I can sing, your obstructions, your antarais for singing will be removed. But if you say, you should never say, oh, no, I don't know how to play music, I don't know how to sing, I do not know how to do this. By saying that, you are giving some kind of energy to the obstructions. So the indecision, the wavering, the negativity is the lack of, is the food for obstructions, and the decision and the positivity will remove the antarai. Have you ever played a tape record? Somebody asked Niruma, what is a record? What is a tape record? Do you think the tape record has, have you ever played a tape record? Does it have ego? When the tape record is playing, will you get hurt? So when somebody, it's just, if your speech is just like a tape record, that then there is no ego. If you think that, if you're the observer of the speech, if you are saying something without becoming the owner of the speech, then there is no, you do not create antarai or obstructions. But you see, there is always the ego intellect complex involved with whatever you're saying it, and that is why the obstruction is created for the other person. Niruma.
Pade yantra kamu, pade yantra kamu, jadi supaya ni wakili.
What about antaray karma that is created and the creative one it is dissolved? We have created a veil. We have a veil. And what happens in currently, whatever is happening in front of us is the obstruction of past life. It is the veil of past life effect. Now, against that, we have to apply this new knowledge that we just discussed, so that we can transcend and we can break and shatter that veil of obstruction. And so, because of the veil, we cannot see. See, it is that the reason you say, oh, you should not be eating this. Now, that is the veil. That is the yellow glasses. So, why don't you... In other words, it all karma is charged through bhav karma or causal karma, the result of which is a yellow glasses in the next life, that is called the subtle discharge karma. Depending on the yellow glasses, you see everything yellow, and therefore you create more bhav karma, create more karma. Whereas the karma that is gross and visible and that is expressing without the through, that does not create any new bhav karma, is called no karma. You brought your obstructions from past life, antaray karma from past life. They don't go. The veil of the antaray karma, the obstruction karma, is there in front of you. It is the gnan that removes it. It is this vision, the V capital, that removes it. Those who are in your service, the Mahatmas, they all want Niruma to eat this food and this food and this food. So I tell, no, Niruma would like this. Because I know what Niruma will like it. But am I carrying forward because you are not saying it. You are just, because you move around with me, says Niruma, you know that Niruma prefers this. You are saying it. There is no ego in the insistence. As long as in a discharging thing, if there is no underlying ego, the insistence and the intellect complex interacting, then you are not perpetuating the veil. The other person has got the bhav of feeding Niruma, yet although she has diabetes, everybody wants to feed her, make her this and make her this and make her this. And so there is, and she doesn't have, they do not have the insistence that, there are some people who, of course, who are insistent, Niruma has to have what I cooked. Now that's the problem. So Dimple will reply, no, this is good for Niruma, this is not good for Niruma, why don't you make it? And if it's preferable to her, she will eat. The rest of your food we will eat, we boys will eat. In other words, if you insist that you want to make. So, that is, you know, what you're describing is not coming into. It's because we understand. We are agreeing that this is the kind of diet we should have. But it says when I don't want to do something and the other person is forcing me to do it, then he is creating an antaray for himself. See, so anything that is where ego intellect complex is involved, then you are entering into a causation and effect of karma, which you will have to deal with. Whereas if anything has happened through speech, there is no ego involved in it, then there is no. Yes, you know, okay, Niruma is coming to somebody's home for the first time. He says, I go visit everybody's homes daily. Yes, we change homes, but you know. So in other words, the lady whose home I'm going for the first time, she's going to prepare everything. So we looked at it, we take a little piece from here, take a piece from here and satisfy her. Yes, everybody has a desire to feed Niruma. So she's talking about the logistics of her food. when she moves around in different homes all over the world. But she says, what is the effect of creating an obstruction for somebody? When you create an obstruction for somebody, then despite having a desire, you will not get it. So that is the... So do not obstruct anybody getting anything in this world. You know, but through your opinions, through your speech, or through your actions, let them have it, whatever they want. Who are you in trying to say, don't do this and do this? You are creating an obstruction for yourself.
Even through a thought, not expressing it, even with thoughts.
Yeah, with thoughts. That's an interesting question. Thoughts, if they have not been opined, do not make a difference. They are subtle only. As long as you don't express them with the opinion, then it's fine. You see? Some people are bickering and nagging and haggling and of course that is obvious hurt, right? I mean, and that is overt hurt, and that requires pratikraman. He's talking about the sins being burnt in the Gnanvidhi. Sirish and Suresh, Surendra. Yes. He says, so now there's the first four, Jnanamtra, the knowledge, vision, Jnanavaran, Darshanavaran, means Mohini and Antrai, these are the four. These are Gati Karmas. This is, okay, the knowledge obscuring karma, the vision obscuring karma, the illusion bearing karma, and the obstructory karma, these four are Dravya Karma. They are the yellow glasses. And then these are, the other four are related to body. Your form, this is the way you look. Then your status in life, then the pain-bearing karma, and then the lifespan karma. These four are physical. They are not in the form of yellow glasses. That one is just... But so these initial four, the vision obscuring karma, the knowledge obscuring karma, the illusion itself, and the obstruction karma, these are unfolding in front of you as invisible karma, and the best way Dada describes them is Dravya Karma, which is nothing but yellow glasses. So you see yellow, it is not your fault, it you see yellow. So it is in these four, out of these four, Mohaniya Karma, the illusion, is broken, and the Darshanavrind, the vision, is shattering karma, vision deluding karma, is shattered and burnt in the Jnanvidhi, However, the Antarai Karma, the obstruction bearing karma, as well as the Jnan veiling karma, remain a little bit, and these Jnan veiling karma have to be shattered through the exactness of the five Agnas and through this satsang in the post Jnanvidhi process. Very critical to remember this. When you say, so these remain as the formed ice that in this life is going to become water and then steam. Whereas in the Jnanvidhi, the water and the steam type karma are for all practical purposes burnt. So that is why, you see, you can say that 50% of the problem is shattered in the Jnanvidhi itself, and therefore you have the ability to look at the pure soul of the other person, and so you do not bind yourself karma. The antarais fall, karma, when there are problems in front of you, these are ego problems, speech, understanding problems, your inadequate understanding problems, lack of communication problems, heavy duty prejudices that are entrenched opinions about other people, And then also the mismatch between the revolutions per minute. So if you have a high level of understanding, you look down upon the person who has got slow revolutions, and therefore you do chit-chit to him. You just, you scorn him, you kind of ignore him, you don't consider him as a human being. You approach him, you treat him like a subhuman being. All of these are the ones that create serious antarais for you in the next life, obstructions for you in the life to come. So, and these kind of antarai seeds, the seeds are constantly being created. You are talking about this obstructive karmas. Currently there is no problem. The darshan and the mohini are gone. So gnan as well as antarai, they're not. Even in the gnan, 66% is gone. Gnana antarai se. Once we take the gnan, 66% is gone. There is not too many. Most of the people who have received the Gnanvidhi, there is not much antarais left anymore. Not very few. At the most, maybe 30-40% is left. Otherwise, most of their obstructions are gone. Those who receive the Gnanvidhi, they have not now left many obstructions. And the ones that are there, that arise in front of them, they are able to see them as they are. And through the knowledge, now when a meal doesn't come in front of you, that means recognize that it is an antarai karma that is unfolding. And there you have the ability to do penance and say, okay, it'll come. When Dada says, I'm pure soul, it has been broken through by shattering the veil of illusion or the veil of gnan? Gnanavaran and Darshanavaran. Let me give you an example. How do you separate the two between that which veils gnan, knowledge, that which veils the vision? Supposing you're doing some business, and you went there for the first time to conduct the business. The first time you did not know how to do the business. You knew what to do. They say, in other words, you knew, you suppose. Okay, in other words, supposing you become, as you know how to, you know the business, you know how to, so you try to do the business, but you know how to do it theoretically, but you do not know how to do it practically. So you know, you have the knowledge of how to do it, but you don't have the experience of. But so or sometimes you know, okay, so when you suppose, so either you know how to do it, but it doesn't get done, or sometimes you do not have the understanding to do it. So first, to get anything accomplished, you have to have the vision or the knowledge. Supposing you want to do to practice medicine, so you have to have the knowledge of medicine. But does that mean that you'll be able to practice medicine? The knowledge of medicine is called the vision or the darshan or the suj or the intuition, and to practice medicine is the actual experience of is the gnan, that is called that. So the suj is darshan, and to know, now you know how to do business, means you're actually knowing, actually practicing as a doctor. So that means you're that is gnan, whereas suj is darshan. So some people have antarai, some people have obstructions in their visions. They don't even know how to practice medicine. So how are they going to practice medicine? And so some people have obstructions on their understanding, and some people have obstructions on their ability to accomplish it. So some people have the understanding and they know how to do it. However, they are not able to conduct themselves in a way so that it gets accomplished through through gnan, and so there is this is the difference between vision or understanding or knowledge, vision or understanding or darshan, versus gnan and accomplishment and experience. Supposing at work, hold your question. Are you Savita Ben? Somebody has written question. Let's take your question. Okay, so this evening apparently is a Gnanvidhi. The sins of infinite lives will be absolutely cleared in this Gnanvidhi today. And so you do not have to hold this. She was worried about Pratikraman. This lady was very worried about Pratikraman, and she says, so the Niruma tells her the importance of the Gnanvidhi is 1,000 times more than the Pratikraman. If you can, so it's much more important to attend the Gnanvidhi than to worry about doing Pratikramans. A question, obviously, from a Jain lady. So Dada has said that Pratikraman, he said a beautiful thing about Pratikraman. And we follow Dada's dogs. Dada, she says, we are... When Niruma is sitting on the dining table, then she says, I want to eat this, I want to eat this, I want to eat this. And then, so Niruma wants to eat all kinds of food on the other side. And so on the one side, there is the mind which says, I want to eat this and I want to eat this. And the other side is the doctor who says, Niruban, you can't eat this, you can't eat this. And so the mind... And then there are the third person who is come to. And then there is the intent of the person who has saying that I have to, Niruma, you have to eat this, you have to eat this. So I have to say, I can't say no to it, so I'll take a little bit of everything. So somebody says, I brought a jalebi for Niruma. She does not know whether Niruma is going to eat or not, but she has brought it with a lot of love and intention. And these people say, this lady has brought this thing, that is lying, she has prepared this for you. And so then what I will do, says Niruma, that these people... Then he says, whatever it is, I will just touch a little bit of it, I will take that much. Even though I'm not supposed to take it medically. And then I'll put it in my mouth. And put it in the mouth. And it may be worth eating, may be right for me, may be wrong for me, but I will not break the bhav, the purity of the devotional manner in which the devotion filled offering of the person who had offered it. Because I recognize that she has made it with such love. How can I say, no, I won't even touch it? And when she tells me, then I eventually... And then I will look at her and say, because I know she has given this to me. And so I look at her. And if she asks me, how was it, then how can I lie? And do I have to say, how can I say that I did not eat it? I don't want to lie that I did not touch your food, or I did had it and it was good. So therefore I touched the food and I tasted it. So I am settling the file with equanimity. But you see, if there are a lot of people are coming again and again with a lot of food, then we have to tell him no, because, you know, how can I deal with 1,000 plates of food? So then we have, if somebody says no, and I have to say no, you don't bring, then I have to do pratikraman for her. Okay, it's over, friends. No vidhi. Well, let's see if Deepak Bhai will do vidhi for us. Generally, he does vidhi. Generally, he does vidhi from Bhuj, but nobody to call him, I suppose. Okay, all right, we'll close it. It's end of satsang.